This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, back again with Nima with Gerasi Law Firm and also AAPL. Make sure to check the show notes for sample letters that you can use with your legislators. And let's get to it. Very cool. I really appreciate that. And I'm going to take over a little bit and I'm going to give you a little bit of nuance on how to play this. In if you've ever taken an improv class, there's a rule in improv. It's yes and. You never say no on stage because it shuts the other person down. I'm going to slightly tweak that. It's going to be no, but. And what I want you guys to do is really focus on SB9. SB9 is where we're able to do lot splits in California, or we're able to basically turn a single family residence, a R1 lot, into four units under current ADU laws. I think there's a significant opportunity to separate ourselves from Wall Street, but I want you to understand the data that a lot of these legislators are looking at. And I told Adam Data this 2 years ago. They haven't listened. I emailed them again today. I emailed Oscar and Jordan again today at the California Association of Realtors, telling them, like, I don't know anybody who's separating iBuyers from the data. And let me walk you through what they're doing wrong. They're not meaning to. It's just been this way. And so anyway, Adam Data puts out something called the Home Flipper Report. Probably a lot of you are signed up for it. They define a home flipper by somebody who, a non-owner occupant who buys and sells something within 12 months. Here's the problem with that. iBuyers in California, especially last year, decided to completely switch gears. They're not renovating homes for the most part. What they're doing is they're buying a house that needs very little work. You'll notice in most areas, it's houses that are post-1980, very similar, you know, square footage, bedroom, bathroom. And you're lucky these days if you get new paint. What's really interesting is before the webinar I did with Nima, I found Zillow said on average they spent around $5,500. I can't find it now. I wonder if they updated the investor letter, but I'll find it again. Opendoor is not sharing that information on average how much they spend, but these guys are not flippers. And here's the problem with that. Adam Data is actually picking them up as flippers, which is not good because they're not. They don't add value. What they're adding is transactional speed. They're not doing what investors do. They don't do the ugly ones. They're doing the easy ones, which means very little work on the inside, very little repairs, and they don't want to deal with people problems. If you use Property Radar, I want you to do something very specific. In Property Radar, you can actually select location. I would go to the county level. There's a quick list within Property Radar where you can say, hey, I want to look at flippers. And there's this really cool way in Property Radar that actually defines market flip, short sale flip, and REO flip. Unfortunately, Property Radar also says, hey, look, they're only looking at 6 months. And the reason is Property Radar said, hey, if you can't flip a house in 6 months, you must be terrible. And, you know, once upon a time, that was really true. The problem is lately we have more ADUs being built and we also have supply chain disruption. But I want you to see, I pulled this list all over California. Hopefully you can't see that. I'll move that. Hopefully you can see my screen. I want you to show over here is the purchase seller and who bought them. I'm just going to scroll through really quick so you can see Zillow purchases, who it went to. And I want you to try to spot entities. If they're flipping directly to entities, I see people. Okay, I see one entity. But for the most part, all the stuff that they bought last year, the vast majority is going to owner occupants. So these guys, Zillow in particular, in this case, is being shown up as the flipper when 90% of the time it's going to an owner occupant eventually. Very quickly, within typically 60 to 90 days, they're putting new paint, a really good vacuum job, and they're putting it back in the market to be sold to an owner occupant. Why? Because they're making money on every piece of their transaction, loan, closings, you name it. Okay. Another point of if you need fodder for how terrible government is at creating affordable housing, this is, I want you to notice the address, lamayor.org. And under summary of a HHH pipeline, HHH was a $1.2 billion tax that they implemented in 2016. The goal was for them to create 10,000 affordable units, but I want you to look right here. I can't select it, but it says the average total development cost per unit, almost $600,000. You're not reading that incorrectly. I think there's been a little over 1,000 units in 5 years that have been implemented. And the Turner School has put out some data on 2018 and 2019. ADUs are crushing this, absolutely crushing this. And it's led by owner occupants. So if you need an example of a local, a Southern California government that is doing a terrible job of creating affordable housing, all you have to do is look at the summary of the HHH fund, and the government is actually giving you the data to show them how bad they're doing. It's hard. It's not easy to do. In the chat, and I'll post it on our website as well. I'll post this one because this has the three different letters. This was what he was talking about, the sample letter for real estate. You'll see the NEMA has a webinar here. You'll, of course, have access to this one. And this is the one that I participated in last week, just talking about all the data. Darren Bloomquist is on there from auction.com as well. But I wanted you to get a sense of some of where they're pulling the data from. This is not ill-meaning. They don't mean to be terrible. They just are. They're just not understanding Main Street from Wall Street. If you can do me a favor, provide data to your local market. Lead with data. Data is not emotional. It's just data. And then I want you to, if you flip houses, provide pictures, show them before and after if possible. Because some of you guys do hoarder homes, you're adding accessory dwelling units, and guess what? They have to meet their RENA numbers. If you're not familiar with RENA numbers, last year in October, every city within the state of California got their allotment of affordable housing numbers that they have to build in the next 8 years. Talking to local development professionals, they have to build, if they were to do it alone, at rates that they've only accomplished once for the next 8 years. They cannot do it without the private sector. And right now, SB 9, which went into effect in January, is not available for investors. SB 10 is, however, it gives the city an option. SB 9 is where you're able to basically turn a single family lot into four. SB 10 is where you're able to turn like an R1 lot and the city designates where they want them, but you're able to create a 10-plex plus two ADUs and two JADUs for a total of 14. So it's where they want density, but not all cities are going to play ball. So if they really want affordable housing, they would give the private sector access to that. We have the skill. We have access to private capital like hard money lenders, like the Norris Group. And we know what we're doing. We can get these done. They don't have to do this. We can help. So with that, I'm going to start. If you have questions, go ahead and put them in the chat for me. The first question is, investors into opportunity zones designated areas not exempt. I'll take this. You only get the full benefit of opportunity zones if you hold it for 10 years. So no, it falls outside the guidelines. If you sell it early, you would. Nima, are you thinking the same thing?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the other answer too is it's not exempt otherwise, right? So there's not a special exemption for opportunity zones.
Would a nonprofit be exempt?
That's an interesting question, right? I assume as much, because can they? That's a great question. I don't know. Because individuals, it's a tax, you know, this is my lack of knowledge of nonprofits. Like, what, do nonprofits file taxes? I'm sure they do, right? Like, and so like.
They do. They might be exempt entities. And the only reason I bring it up is because of SB 1079. If you're not familiar with California, right. SB 1079 is where California used really bad data to implement if you're buying at auction, somebody can raise their hand. A government entity, owner, occupant, or a nonprofit can raise their hand within 15 days and buy it for you for one more dollar.
Yeah.
The dirty facts are there's some very big companies that opened a nonprofit.
Oh, yeah.
And they're pushing the small guy out. So the very thing that they tried to stop, and again, it wasn't ill-meaning. They even talked to legislators trying to get them to understand the data. It's terrible. Yeah. Can I buy in an entity and sell the entity and not the property?
Yeah, you know, the technical answer is no, because it's sale or transfer, right? And so I think that if you were to talk to the franchise tax board and this issue is, well, no, you transfer the property, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether you sold it in that instance. And obviously it's very hard to track in that situation. It's ultimately a question of whether the taxing authority was able to pierce through and understand whether a transfer actually occurred. If they were able to do that, then yes, it would qualify at that point of the transfer. But again, you know, it depends on how disciplined the taxing authorities are going to be in that situation.
And the truth of the matter is, from what I've seen, you have to take things out of entities. The state of California has been really picky about wanting the underlying people's name Yeah. I've seen that quite a bit. So yeah. I knew it was going to come up. So I decided to ask it now.
Fair enough.
And they're keeping track of this by, you have to file the affidavit or something to say that you're going to live in it, right? Is that, that's how they're going to keep track of it somehow?
Yeah. My assumption is that upon sale, there's a form, and the form says, I've lived in this property, you know, I have to attest that you've lived in the property for the preceding 7 years, or what, you know, my first property that I ever purchased, and it's done through attestation on some sort of government form.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mark is asking, how likely is the bill author to amend the bill by exempting owner occupants to make the legislation more appealing to the general public?
You know, never say never, because I guess, you know, anything can happen with legislation. I can't imagine a world in which it passes as is, right? It's just too wide. It's without exempting owner occupants as a general rule, I can't imagine a world in which this actually moves forward. But that is a really great question. What if you fix that? Right. What if it, because now it's just the boogeyman of real estate investor is all that's left over. And it's a much less sympathetic audience. And so the good thing is, at least from a coalition perspective, is no one is asking for amendments right now. No one is saying this, I get this legislation, it makes sense. But it could use a little bit of finessing. The current position is, this makes no sense.
You know, I'm trying to think of amendments we can promote. Like, okay. Maybe 10% of the sales price has to be put into repairs into the property to account. To your point, what is an investor? I don't consider iBuyers at this point an investor, because right. they're not putting money back into the property. I don't know. We're not funding any loans, as an example, where the investor is only putting in $5,000.
Right.
A good vacuum job and some new poles and some cabinets.
Yeah. I mean, this is the interesting. For a state that's actually been on the right path, or on a better path recently, right? I mean, we've seen this tension. I mean, you know, this happened in New York recently, right? They tried to do the exact same thing, this flip tax. I mean, states are terrible copycats one another. It died in New York. It did not move, which is great. And hopefully it doesn't do anything here either. But you know, and similarly, as I was there, you know, ancillary stories, I was in Florida for what was effectively a mortgage lender licensing issue. But the crux of it, and the reason why we became knowledgeable, is they were passing it for their affordable housing legislation. But if you went to Florida, what they did there was brilliant. They basically says, I don't care about the county's rules related to the permitting process. The state is going to mandate to the counties the maximum time period you have to either deny the permit or to, you know, to offer amendments. And it is they took the control out of the county's hands, right? And so that sounds like a great idea. You know what I mean? Like, there's many things we could do. And so you know, you could do it a tax credit. There's lots of things that would actually, if the goal is more housing and more affordable housing, there are other ways to get there, right? Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, the government spending money doesn't do it, right? That's, as you've already demonstrated, the few case examples we have where California has money. We have, you know, whatever it is right now, $40 billion surplus. We have plenty of money to try to build houses, but no one's trying to build houses. That's not what the government is good at doing. Right.
They could have turned that HHH fund into like a credit line for ADUs for owner occupants. I don't care. They could have made money.
You want to build affordable housing and we'll give you a 1% line on it. There's a lot of ways to do it. You know what I mean? Like, give them a reason to build it. Give them a reason to build it. Right. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. I just think it's such a huge opportunity for investors to say no against this one, but to bring up SB9 and to make it more affordable. And you can't take anything for granted. This stuff, if we don't say anything, if we don't educate our legislators, it can go through. And I think for the most part, data is a very non-emotional way to do it and a great way to do it. And it's visual too. If you arm them with the data and visuals, you're doing their job for them. Nobody else is going to come up with that. And I've already shown you the data that they're likely pulling from. I did check with Darren. He used to work for Adam Data. I emailed Rick Sharga as well. I'm like, is this still how you're doing it? But I just showed you on Adam Data what they're considering a flip. So we know that's typically the most quoted data source when it comes to investors. I'll see what the CAR comes back with, because they might be looking at only all cash deals. But even iBuyers have a huge line of credit. So I don't know how they're separating that. But The problem with including iBuyers too is it messes up the average profit and it messes up the holding times big time. So investors, if they're taking over a certain amount of time, they're not showing up on the list. iBuyers will more often, which is just a shame. And unfortunately, Zillow just announced that they sent 2,000 properties to Pretium when they closed shop, when they were closing down the Zillow offers. 2,000 went to them. And this drives me nuts. So the way that the national media covers this, and the iBuyers almost seem more than happy to let them do it, as they're like, oh, we're only 2% of the market. No, you're not in every market and you're not in every buy box. You're in, Opendoor is in 41 markets at this point, but they're in a very particular buying arena, you know, FHA and under for the most part. So when they're buying that, those are houses that millennials will never get a chance to own. So we're blocking a very specific category of buyers out of home ownership, which is not great. So, and builders are not building for the most part in that range because it's not as profitable. So anyway, any other questions for Nima about this? I'm trying to think of if there's any questions I hadn't thought of that keep coming up.
Aaron, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So what is the goal of what we're doing today? Activating them to do what? Is it really to, you know, be at the table of affordable housing, or is just, hey, let's find a way to kill this bill because it's just going to hurt everybody? Because if they were really serious about affordable housing, they would do a lot of things about, you know, the barriers to, you know, make things pencil, right? So what are we asking, you know, the people on this call, people who are going to listen to the radio, what is it truly that we want to happen?
I would love to see more investors in general be activated. I mean, not all investors, especially mom and pop, belong to a local, they don't belong to CAR. Maybe they don't have a license. Maybe they're not a private lender, so they don't belong to the California Mortgage Association. Maybe they don't belong to the Builder Association because they're not doing enough volume. The truth is these organizations take a lot of the heat and they spend a lot of money educating our legislators, but we can do that too. We don't have to be a member of anything. We just have to know it matters and we have to show up. When you're not at the table, you're on the table. And this definitely affects you. And at the same time, your legislators should start to learn to trust you as the local expert. They should, you know, why not show off your work? Show that hoarder house, the worst house in the neighborhood, you turned around into something wonderful, and let them know, hey, you're interested in building and to play ball with SB9. You just, right now, you don't have the opportunity because it does not include you. SB9, by the way, it doesn't mean the state has set the guidelines, but it doesn't mean that localities can't play ball and make exemptions for you. So the state is one that sets the bar, but the localities are the ones that are deciding which rules play for you.
And if I could jump on that too, I mean, it's an astute point, which is that the legislators are expecting the trade associations to get involved, and that's great. And they have a voice, and particularly they have a great data voice, right? Is hey, let me help you. Let me just educate you. And that's really the primary role of the trade associations. Good intentions, but let me educate you on results. And that's fine. There's a role to play. When we were in Florida and an issue came up for mortgage lender licensing, you would think that the person that should be speaking was the mortgage lender. Not at all. We had the local RIA show up, and the local RIA showed up, and the guys were showing up and saying, look, I cannot obtain bank financing. It does not exist for this asset, right? So you're putting me and my crew out of work. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. So you think you're harming what you think is this predatory lender? That predatory lender is the only guy who's going to give me a loan, right? And it was just this light bulb that occurred in front of them because this was happening in the committee. And they were standing up there one-on-one explaining their personal experience. And you just saw it finally click going, oh, like that's who's being hurt. And I think that's what you're really seeing in this situation as well, which is a real estate investor is just this thought in their head of what that person is, right? Mm-hmm. This greedy landlord who's kicking out tenants all day, right? That's yeah. The one thing, that's all they know about you is you're kicking out tenants, right? And trying to get, and it's dispelling that myth, right? And I think that the more that it's just, because remember, one day health insurance, the next day real estate, the next day, you know, whatever the issue of the day is, that's what they're talking about. And so if you can help them understand, because they don't understand real estate at all.
Yeah.
If they did, they wouldn't have proposed this. That's what we're saying. So if you can actually help and explain the role of the real estate investor and how this actually benefits, you know, your voice is much more compelling than the trade association.
I'm part of something that an affordable housing coalition that's going through the Council of Governments put together SCAG. And I believe in Southern California, it's everybody but San Diego. So there's a course that 40 of us out of 400 were selected to go through this course. I'm one of two private sector individuals. And last Monday we had our session and they brought up this issue. And I'm like, guys, I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to beat you guys up. I'm all, the data is wrong. This is how wrong. And she shared a Washington Post article. Washington Post had not sourced their data. I'm all, I don't know where they're pulling from, but I bet you anything I know where they did. And if so, this is how we're doing it. They're doing it. And here's why it's wrong. And they had never heard that before. I was like, when is the last time, as an example, in Riverside, I pulled this data because I was part of another housing coalition, because I'm a nerd out here. And I was like, okay, when's the last time you've talked to landlords about what you want, about what's possible? And they're like, well, we haven't. I'm all, exactly. They already own inventory. Have you told them that you want ADUs? Have you talked to landlords with lots over 10,000 square feet that could clearly fit an ADU? Of course you haven't. Guess, I think the average circulation of the Press Enterprise is something around 100,000. We're not like Palm Springs or San Diego or LA. We're a secondary media market. We don't matter, I guess. The problem is that the majority of landlords, you know, a huge portion of landlords live out of the county. So they're not paying attention. So unless you mail them something, or they happen to be a subscriber to the Orange County Register or the Press Enterprise, they're never going to hear it. Yeah. So who would you also start letting them know? Like, you're already creating this letter, a sample of your work, some pictures. Who else would you send it to that you think would be impactful in government?
You know, here's what I would say is the interesting thing is I hate what I do, meaning I hate my job primarily is reacting to legislation.
True.
Right? That's really it. Like, it's the most annoying thing because it's like it's a fire drill every time and you're fighting and it's so hard to do well. Right. And that's awesome. I saw, you know, in the chat box here is one of the people on here. Right. Like, I think the challenging thing is so many people can be very political in their approach to this. It's not a politics issue at all. Like I truly believe Assemblymember Ward is doing the right thing in his own eyes. I don't think that's ounce of ill will here.
Agreed.
I think he was elected to try to help people and he thinks he's helping people. That's mm-hmm. it. And so it's really getting more involved in general with local politics, right? As silly as it seems, like this is what happens when you're in a vacuum and no one knows, like this is the stuff that comes out of it. And so I think it's, even if you're not an Assemblymember or a district, it's having a conversation, be like, hey, like I just want to introduce myself. Like I've noticed that there's a, you know, I think California's got a really big housing affordability problem. What are your thoughts? Right? Like, I'd love to talk to you about it because I'm in real estate and I would love to give you some ideas and like some things that California's done really well. And I think there's some things that might be able to help you a little bit. Any sort of connection at that level really will you know, the big picture of this thing is what is you know, what's another SB9 that we could do? What are improvements that we can do? What are maybe tax credits or other things we could do that would actually generate real inventory and help, right? That's what I'd love to see, right?
Yeah. And they're motivated. They need to, I didn't explain this. What happens if they don't meet their RENA numbers in the next 8 years? If the state can take over, which has never happened before, but the state can take over planning departments and just say, you're not getting it done, so we're going to do it for you. And then you lose complete local control. But they also lose access to funding for transportation, CBDG funds, which go to nonprofits that help a lot of support, local projects, affordable housing projects. You don't want to lose that money. So they're motivated to work with you, but we need each other to really show up. Some of the places that I think can to show up every once in a while, you can show up at council meetings at the local level.
Yes.
And share your ideas. You can show up at the local chamber and start to get known as, you know, let people know what you do. You don't have to show up all the time.
Yeah.
If you're in an area that's county driven and a lot of money lands at the county. So show up at your county version of council meetings and let them know what you're doing for affordable housing and building ADUs. And it never hurts to show up and tell them about timelines, like let them know how they're doing. when it comes to build permits or turnaround time. With under ADU law, they're supposed to be hitting a 60-day maximum timeline or it's considered approved. I don't necessarily go for that strategy. they can make your life very difficult. Don't want to play ball that way. But that's definitely something. My council member asked me last year, like, what do I tell my constituents about ADUs? I'm all, it's out of your control. You don't have any say so, and the state regulated it, and sorry.
Well, I mean, Aaron, you've led the fight on calling YIMBY, right? Like, there's truly like a philosophical shift that kind of needs to happen here, right? Like, that's the real challenge we're ultimately facing here. I live in Mission Viejo, and like, I'm getting flyers right now because they're like, oh my God, they're planning on developing some, you know, real estate in this dilapidated like shopping center that is just, you know, an eyesore, candidly. And I'm like, guys, like, there are giant, for the love of God, let someone move here. This is crazy. This cannot be forever. We have to, at some point, recognize that people should be able to live in this place. And if you don't, you're not going to be able to either, right? Like, this is going to be a weird place if we continue to let status quo occur. It already is.
Aaron, somebody asked what would Assembly Member Ward's district is. It's coastal San Diego from Solano Beach to Mexico, and including parts of downtown.
Yeah, and San Diego's one is the most cutting edge. I didn't create YIMBY, by the way. There's a whole club of yes in my backyarders. But there's a big movement around ADUs, and I think we should really be pushing SB9 because it's such a creative way to get more inventory. Yeah. But anyway, any other questions for Nima while we got him on the phone? I know I've run up my clock and I'm not paying for your time. I feel so bad. And I just want to thank you for your time too. Yeah, I know you've worked so hard, and I don't think people know some of the things that you've helped stop, including NMLS rules in Florida. I got my NMLS license thinking that you were going to have to in Florida or you couldn't do hard money out there. You were instrumental in getting that stopped. So it's everyday folks leading with data, leading with visuals, understanding what you do, and you become the trusted expert, and that's how you play the game. I don't think any of this is ill-meaning. It's just, you know, you've got an intern that pulls bad data. When it came to SB 1079, the one with the trustee sale, the redemption period, they were comparing California to, I forgot if it was Detroit or it was some city that was losing population for the past 50 years. And they used their TARP money to tear down houses. California really has never done that. As of 2 years ago, they were still spending some of that money tearing down houses. So it was completely inappropriate. But unless they have somebody that they trust that's presenting that data, they're going to go with the intern. Right. So when you're not at the table, you're on the table. Yes. Nima, where can people find out more about you and the law firm?
Sure. I appreciate that. I'm on LinkedIn probably primarily from a social media perspective. And so you can look at my name. That's the easiest way to probably grab a hold of me there. Alternatively, you know, we've got our website, we've got Jirasi on my name here. So it's JirasiLLP.com. I work at JirasiLawFirm.com. Would be happy to chat with anybody after the fact. Particularly for people that want to get mobilized. I mean, that's really good ways to get plugged in. I'd love to be a part of it. Any person, like I said, if you have an ability to get a meeting with Assemblymember Ward, I'd love to get a group of people going down for that. That is the winning heart and mind is the ultimate battle. And if we can do that, then, you know, you've really, you know, helped out a lot of people.
There are a lot of people on this call that were from the San Diego market. So if you need to connect, I'll have them reach out, but let me know.
Thank you.
Nima, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Take care, Aaron.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Bye, everybody. What can we do to stop this? Well, I posted the link to AAPL online. They've got all the letters. You can help spread the word. Then there's three different letters on there. There's the, let's see, there's a homeowner letter, a real estate investor letter, and a lender letter. So if you fall into one of those many letters, you know, however many you fall under, send a different letter. I don't know. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01. 2199911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.